Okay, we're up to Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Okay, so we are at the point in time, again, this to review. This is a picture of world history, at least starting from the time of before the building of the Bayis Sheni, during the time in between the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, during the time of Koresh, when Daniel sees a vision from the Malach, Gabriel, telling him what's going to be throughout the remainder of history. And we're going through all the different events, and we've learned yesterday about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Churban Bayis Sheni. We've gone now through over 400 years, and we've come to the point of the Churban Bayis Sheni. And then we learned about what will happen immediately following the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Asara Harugei Malchus, was alluded to in the previous Pasuk, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. And those are the 14 expressions, Becherev Uve Lehova, Beshvi Uva Biza, Yomim, for many days. And now we go to Pasuk Lamed Dalet, to continuing this Tkufa, the aftermath of the Churban Bayis Sheni, Uvihi Koshlom, and when they fall. Now that's a general term, can refer to the fall of the Beis HaMikdash, to fall, to stumble. And when they stumble, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and when specifically the Talmidei Chachamim are killed, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmoel, Rabbi Shimon, the Nasi, and the Kohen Gadol, and then about 70 years later, during the Tkuf of Beitar, the other eight of the Asar HaRogei Malchus, Uvi Koshlam Ye'ozru Ezer Ma'at. There will be a small degree of help. It's a very difficult word. So as the further we go in this parak, the more vague and the more difficult it is to translate these words, and there are many opinions. Rashi gets more and more vague. Extremely difficult to understand what Rashi is going to say in the next couple of psukim. But here it says, Ye'ozru ezer ma'at. Ezer means there'll be an assistance, help, a small amount. And when we'll just read the words, V'nilvu aleihem, and they will attach themselves to them, who is them, we'll see in a moment, Rabbi, many, Bachalak, Lakos, through their sweet talk, through their smooth talk, because we had this already a few times, this word Bechalak Lakos, and it was used previously in the last couple of psukim in reference to pitui, to enticement. The Romans would entice the Jews not to rebel against them, to give up their religion, to give up their belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and come over and worship their pagan idols, and to surrender the Beis HaMikdash, and to surrender their souls to the Romans. That's what we refer to as Bachalak Lakos, smooth talk. It was also flattery, Hanifa, and it was also used in reference to we had a reference when the Romans had a debate with the Persians, who deserves to dominate the world, who deserves power. So we had this discussion recorded in the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, where there was instead of war, they sat and let's have a debate, and they won the debate through their smooth talk, through their cleverness. That is the nida of Esav. Esav is tzayid b'fiv. He knows how to trap with his mouth. So another word, another way to describe being tzayid b'fiv is chalak lakos, lashon of chalak, smooth, but to be smooth with your mouth. Okay, so now let's do the Mitzudos Dov. Mitzudos is very clear how he wants to interpret this pasuk, and we'll elaborate upon that in a moment. Lamed Aled. And the Mitzudos David uvi koshlam uvi eis hi koshlam, when the Jewish people will stumble, referring back to the previous pasuk when the Talmidei Chachamim, namely the Asarug Malchus, will stumble. Yiryu nezorim, Hashem will come to their assistance. Hashem will not just let Klai Yisrael to completely fall apart. There will be an assistance. May Hashem ezer me'at. Hashem will be there a little bit. V'lo yiyu kolim, they will not be completely perished. Biyad ho'yev, in the hands of the enemy. So we know this. We find this parallel in Jewish history. If you study Jewish history, and a lot of the experts in Jewish history tell us this, after every tkufa in Churban, every Tekuvah of Churban in Jewish history, Hashem does something very unusual to the Mechazei Klal Yisrael. Let's jump to modern times. After the horror of the Holocaust, something that never was precedented in history, there was also a Tekuvah of incredible Siyat Shmaya with the reestablishment of Eretz Yisrael. And all of the things which went along, I mean, there were a lot of korbanos, the people who participated in establishing Eretz Yisrael, in a lot of the wars, but it was, but HaKol Moedim was Nisim V'Niflos, in how Eretz Yisrael was so quickly able to establish itself and prevail against all odds and against 70 wolves, all the Arab nations trying to squash the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. That occurred right after the horror, the most ugly thing in the history of Klal Yisrael, the Holocaust. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, Klal Yisrael found themselves in Bavel, and there was they are under the Persians. I mean, we have to there's also a tekufa. We have to just uncover it. There was also a tekufa of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind to Klal Yisrael after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and now we're focusing specifically after the Bayis Sheni, Beitar. Bar Kochva, Rabbi Akiva, it was a time of Chizuk where Klal Yisrael had autonomy for 52 years? 52 years they had autonomy. They issued their own coins. I mean, that's an amazing thing. They didn't issue their own coins during the time of the Bayis Sheni. They were under the control of the Romans. They had no shlita. I mean, that really says it all. Currency, if you're able to go and mint your own coins, that, that shows you're in control. And in fact, that's one of the most amazing things about the state of Israel, is they have their own currency. I mean, it's just a mind-boggling thing, is that there's in 2000, Klal Yisrael has not minted their own coins for almost 2,000 years, a little less, since the time of Bar Kokhba. That was the last time there was a degree of autonomy. This autonomy, Bar Kokhba, did not exist even during the time of the Bayis Sheni. So that's what the pasuk over here means. And this is a yesod not just for the tekufa of the Bayis Sheni, it's a tekufa for world history. Uvihi koshlam. When Rachmana Litzlan, there is a time of stumbling, where we clock Kadosh Baruch Hu has to cause us to stumble because of our sins. Ye ozru ezer ma'at. They will always follow a period of assistance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do things that are lamala miderech hateva to show imo anochi b'tzara. There was a tzara, you had to stumble, but I'm there. I'm there, I'm going to help you get back on your feet and deal with the situation in order to allow you to continue and endure to get through the next kufa of world history. And this is true, of course, on a large scale, and it's true on a small scale as well in every situation. So what, yeah?
Is there any interpretation of why they use ma'at? Is there ma'at, a little assistance?
A little, okay, I don't know the answer, but that's what it is. It's not Eretz Yisrael. It's not we have a lot of problems in Eretz Yisrael.
No, but I mean, in here, what is he talking?
Oh, what's the ma'at? So the ma'at means it all depends on what exactly is the azus. Okay, let's see. Let me just finish the mitzvahs, and we'll talk a few different interpretations of what this means. Let's get to the entire pasuk, and we're going to come back to the ma'at a little bit. Ma'at means a little bit. Okay, lamed aleph. Now, what is, these are hard words to explain. The end of the pasuk, vinilvu, avol, this is the way the Mitzudos learns, and many Rishonim learn, follow this approach. Avol rabim mi Yisrael, even though Hashem will be there, and there will be a resurgence of Jews who are shomrei Torah mitzvos, unfortunately, the majority will fall away. The majority will be influenced by the Romans, by the Goyim. Avol rabim miYisrael yetsu min hadas. They will abandon religion, lehischaber alehem, and will join the non-Jews, the Romans, bavur, due to chalaklakos amoreihem, due to their smooth talk. So if we look this in an historical perspective and folk, that this pasuk refers specifically to the time after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the pasuk is telling us there will be a terrible Churban, tzaddikim will die, there will be a time of shmat, but there will still be a pocket of Jews who are Shomer Torah Mitzvot, who are going to be the Ezer Ma'at, just a small amount, and their success, and it will only be through the Siyata Deshmaya. It's not Al Derech HaTeva that there should be anyone that would survive such a horror that will occur at this point in time. But the Pasuk acknowledges Gesundheit, V'nilvu Aleihem Gesundheit, it will be joined Aleihem to the Goyim, to the Romans, Rabim. The vast majority of the Jewish people will abandon, will fall away, due to Bachalak Lakos, due to their influence, due to their smooth talk and their influence the Romans had over the Jews at this point in time. Now, what exactly are we referring to? So the Mefarsh will give many interpretations of what specific event this might be referring to. Gesundheit, one interpretation is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kochva. And that refers to the Tkuv of Beitar. Beitar was a, like we said, was an Ezer Ma'at. There was a person, Bar Kochva. Rabbi Akiva believed that he was the Melech HaMashiach, and he was extremely successful in a number of battles. And but it came a point in time where it was only Ma'at. It was only short-lived. Beitar did not survive. It was slaughtered. That's one of the brachas we have in Birchas Hamazon. The fourth bracha, Birchas Hamazon, was that the Harugei Beitar were nitin l'kavura. They were killed, and their bodies were exposed for many years. And then after many years, there was some relief, and the Jews were able to come back and bury their bodies. Their bodies did not decay. And Chazal instituted the fourth bracha of Birchas Hamazon as a hoidah for the fact that their bodies were given l'kvura, and to commemorate the miracle that their bodies did not decay during that time. So that is one interpretation of the Ezer Ma'at, the Tkufa of Beitar, which included Bar Kochva and included Rabbi Akiva. Another interpretation we refer referring to a little bit later in history, referring to Rabbeinu HaKadosh and his friendship with Antoninus, one of the Caesars of Rome, was a very close friend, confidant of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. There was a ton of all these different legends and stories. They would study Torah together, and the Sofiyam of the legend is that Antoninus was Megayer. He converted, and there was a tunnel which he would, a special secret tunnel that he would travel in every day, whatever so often, to come visit Rabbeinu HaKadosh and study Torah. And he was very good to the Jews. He was mevatel all the gezeros, and this was a very, very productive period for Klal Yisrael during this specific period. Lud Rashi says, Shnei Goyim Bevidnech, when Rivka comes to shame, Rivka, when she passes through the doors of the Beis Medrash, passes near the Beis Medrash, so the baby, the fetus is kicking to come out, and when she passes the Avodah Zarah, it's the kicking to come out. So she goes, what is going on? Vayelech Lidroish Esh Hashem. Rashi says she went to shame, and the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Lo, Hashem said to her through shame, Shnei Goyim Bevidneich. And it's written in an unusual way. It's written two yuds. It's a kivuch sif. We read it Goyim, but it's really written with two yuds, which we interpret Geyim. Not Goyim, but Geyim, which means two mighty, which is translated to mean two great people, two world leaders. What?
Noble
people. World leaders. Bevitnech, and Rashi, this is Rabbeinu HaKadosh from Klal Yisrael, and Antoninus, one of the Caesars of Rome, living at the time of Rabbeinu HaKadosh from Rome. These are two, they represent, they were the Shnei Goyim, from Esav. It was a time of peace between Esav and Yisrael. That's a reference to the Ezer Me'ot that we are referring to here. I think there's another interpretation which I don't remember. Let me just look it up over here in the Sefer Mishpat Zav. There's another interpretation of what is the Ezer Me'ot. Let's see. Beitar says over here. And this is Rabbeinu HaKadosh. I think I got everything. No, that's it. So I got it. Okay, those are the basic Mahalchim, the Tkufa right after this period of time. Now, some of Farshim learned the Pasuk a little bit differently. Let's review the Pasuk. Uvi Kashlam, let's learn how we translate the words, how we translated the words until now. Uvi Kashlam, when there will be a time of stumbling, when the tzaddikim will die, will be killed during the tkuf of Shema that followed the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Pasuk says, don't worry, Ye'ozru Ezer Ma'at, Hashem will be there to provide a small degree of assistance to make sure Klal Yisrael continues, V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. But unfortunately, when they're stumbling, V'nilvu aleihem rabim b'chalaklakos, many of the best of Klal Yisrael will fall away. So b'chalaklakos is going to, we're translating it to mean the smooth talk of the goyim, namely here the Romans. However, there's a whole collection of Rishonim that learned this pasuk very differently. They learn v'nilvu aleihem rabim, referring to a rebirth, a renaissance of observance among Klal Yisrael, and b'chalak lakos here means the smooth talk of the Tanoim and the Amoraim. It doesn't mean, it's not to be translated in a negative context, as we have in the last, we have, I think it's the third time we had this expression, which means Tzayid, Esav is Tzayid b'fiv. He's Tzayid b'fiv and he's causing all the Jews to abandon their religion and to sell their souls. Here it means the Churban Beis HaMikdash has happened. Klal Yisrael has gone into Golus. As we mentioned yesterday, this began an amazing period of time, 500 years of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh, of the Talmud, of the Mishnayis, the codification of Mishnayis, and the Talmud, the Rabbanan Savaroi, and the Goinim, a glorious period of time where Torah developed and flourished, and Ad Hayom Hazeh. It's now been, since that period of time, that glorious period of time, it's now been about 1500 years, a little bit less maybe, like, and even though we're mamash living today off that kufa. So many, you can learn the pasuk Hashem ha'asid, that even us today have joined. We attach ourselves to this group of people who established Torah Shebaal Peh through the delicious expressions of Dibur that they have presented to us in the form of the Mishnayis, the Talmud, and the whole body of the Tosefta, the Midrashim, and so on and so forth. So that's really what I was going to say. So that's what Vinilvu, it's going back on the Pasuk before. Let me just. What do you want to say?
I think the logical order of the Pasuk
Is
that in the time when people will stumble, there'll be a little help, and then what are you going to say? Then the opposite is going to happen?
Well, that's how the vast majority of the Rishonim learn.
But it doesn't really flow logically.
B'chalaklako is a word which has been used so far to mean something negative.
Right.
So, and we have, and over here it says, it's an ezem ot. It's not so, a little bit will be good, a ma'ot, but the vast majority, they're goners. Rachman al-Utslan, they're off. Yeah, so Mitzvah makes it very clear. They're going to leave the fold.
I know.
But other Mefarshim say it's very beautiful how they take this and they really attach the Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Look at Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So how do we translate these words? So Maskilam Yavinu. This refers to the Tanoim, the people who are the wise men among the nation. Who are the wise men among the nation? These are the Tanoim, the Amoraim, the wise. What will they do? They will teach Torah to the masses. But what's going to happen to the Tanoim, the Amoraim? They're going to be killed. They're going to be the Gzer Shmat, the Hasar HaRogei Malchus, the Hasar Gemalchus, the greatest Tanoim and Amoraim. They're going to be killed. V'nichshulu, v'cherev, v'lehova, b'shri, v'bizu yomim, v'vikashlam, but when, even though they'll die, no, don't worry, Hashem will be there. Ye'ozru ezer ma'ot. And now their legacy goes on. Even though they have stumbled, they have been taken away from us, Hashem will be there with us, and their legacy will continue. V'nilvu aleihem, to them, the maskilei on, the tzaddikim, the tenayim amarayim, who? Rabin, many. Who are the many? All the subsequent generations, Ad Hayom Hazeh, will latch on to the foundation that they have established for Klal Yisrael after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Bachalak Lakois, with their beautiful talent, smooth, the beautiful talent of presenting for us persuasion. But here in this context, it means their beautiful talent of presenting in writing, in words, the Torah Shebal Peh. Now came the Tkufu, the Torah Shebal Peh was preserved in a form of writing, in a form of words. Even though we know that Torah Shebal Peh, you're not ideally allowed to put it into writing, but Eis Lasos Lashem Heferos Arasecha, and that's here what it refers to. That's therefore it's a beautiful interpretation of the pasuk. It makes a lot of sense. The only thing which he goes through this whole this, the only thing that's rough with this interpretation is the word Bachalak Lakois, because this word is a word which generally has a negative connotation, and here we're twisting it to Adaraba Zelu Maze Bar Elokim. Here it has a positive connotation. Smooth. Yeah. Okay.
Conveying the Torah on a
smooth basis
without any abrasion.
Right. Correct. But in the last few psukim, we use that exact same word in a negative form. So that's the only difficulty, but it's a very beautiful interpretation. Okay, now, Pasuk Lamed Hey. Umin Hamaskil. Now, let's just see Rashi, and anything I left that important in Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Aled. It says the same approach as what the Mitzudah says. Yazoru. Ezer Ma'at. Now, I tell you, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this means. I read this 50 times, not many, many times. I just can't really extract how Rashi is learning Pshat here in this event. And it could very well be that some of these Rashis have been censored. They say that. A lot of the text, the end of this parak, has a lot to do with Rome. And there's a lot to do with Christianity in the next couple of psukim, and it's very likely that we don't have a true version of what Rashi said. That's why it's very hard to really grasp what is Rashi saying here. Rashi is very straightforward. He says, it's written a little, the form is written a little difficult, but you get the idea here. It's hard to really extract what Rashi means to say. But the basic idea is, Ezeman Aidei Sheikhodim Umomon, bribery. That it seems that Rashi is saying that Jewish people are going to bribe the goyim, and that's very true. Mammon sheyavdu es oyvehem, they will serve their enemies. Yisayeya oysam bohem, they will help them out. I don't know exactly how to translate the words, what it means, but one thing historically is true, which we mentioned yesterday, is that during the tkufa of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, the Romans conquered the entire world, and part of the conquest was you have to adopt our religion. And this was before Christianity became dominant in the world, and before the Romans officially made Christianity as part of their empire. That was a modern thing. Until a little bit later on, Rome was not necessarily a religious country. It wasn't a religion. It was pagan. They had idols. It had idols. So pagan, they were religious in a sense. They worshipped many different idols, Mazel Tzedek, but there was nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity was a new whim which came upon the people, Constantine, and they took it upon themselves, and they did a lot of things. And what his intentions was, there's a lot of studies. Constantine, the reason why he brought Christianity into the empire was not because he really believed in it. It was just a good practical, a good political move for the times. There's much written about this, much to be discussed, but the point is, as Rome dominated and conquered, this is an historical fact, every nation that they conquered was forced to accept upon itself the same religion that Rome was observing at that point in time. Eretz Yisrael was one of the only exceptions. They let the Jews, Eretz Yisrael was, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but there were pockets of Jews living in different living here, living there. They let the Jews continue to practice Judaism, but you had to pay for it. You had to pay a very lot of, you had to pay a fee you want to remain Jewish, there's a special tax. You pay us 75% of what you earn, then we'll make an exception for you and you will be allowed to continue to observe Yadus. So it appears that Rashi is alluding to this, that even though the Romans are dominating, the Romans gave the Jew an option, we're not going to force you to convert if you will just pay us enough money. For money, you can buy anything. You can even buy a Sunny Betza. That is a joke. You know, a judge is not allowed to take bribes. A judge has to be a Sunny Betza. But for enough money, you can hire a judge. That's also a Sunny Betza. You don't get it? Yeah. The word is I'm not sure how you say it. How do you say the word? How do you say the word in the correct grammatical form? Shoychad is a bribe, and this word shoychadim, shechadim, shechadim, shechadim,
bribers.
Right. Through bribing, money, umamon, okay, then bribes, umamon, they agree to pay money and agree to serve as slaves to their masters. The Romans said, okay, for money, we'll let you continue to observe your religion. We're not going to force you to convert. Yisayeo Yisam Bohem, that was able to serve as an assist for the Jewish people during this period of time. That's how Rashi Lerem Shan the Pasuk, very different than the Mitzudos and almost all of the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim who's for over here that the Ezer, Ye'ozhu Ezer Ma'at, means from Hashem. Hashem will send down to Klal Yisrael Siyata Deshmaya, divine assistance, a small degree of divine assistance to accomplish the impossible at this period of time in order to preserve Klal Yisrael. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Rashi is saying, no, Ye'ozhu Ezer Ma'at will be a small, an earthly degree of help. How? Money. You'll pay money, then you'll be able to survive.
It says Ye'ozhu, so that's a rabbin. It's more mashma.
They, who's they? I guess the people, or the many individuals.
You're referring to Hashem, so...
According to the Mitzudos and many Rishonim, Ye'ozhu means it will be Ye'ozhu, it will be provided help. Ye'ozhu in the
Nifal.
They will be helped. Who will be providing the help? Hashem. Others say no, the people will take matters into their own hands and they'll just pay for assistance to allow themselves to continue to do what they want to do. So let's go further. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Umin hamaskilim yikoshlu. Now we're going to a new tkufa. Now we're referring to a vast period of time, according to many of the Rishonim, as the Mitzudas brings out. Umin hamaskilim. Now will come a period of time of galus. Klal Yisrael has never experienced such a thing in their history. Every period of galus was more or less short-lived. We went down to Mitzrayim. How long were we in Mitzrayim for? For 210 years. And we were expecting to stay there for 400 years. Okay, no, make no mistake about it. We got lucky. We thought, Ger Yezeracha Arba Me'oshana, 400 years. Look at that. We're only here in Egypt for 210 years. It's time to go. Okay, then that wasn't necessarily the best thing for us. We had to go because we sunk to such a low level. If we would have remained there for one moment, there would be no one to take out. And we have to make that up and go. Okay, we're in the desert. How long were we in the desert for? We only meant to be in the desert for a couple of days. Right. We meant to go in there and destroy immediately. What happened? Worship the eagle. So we stayed there for how long? 40 years. 40 years is not, okay, it's a long time, but it's not, it's... in the desert. But 40 years is not the end of the world. And in fact, it appears they knew about this. They were told that the Dor will die out, and Yom Lashana, for every day that the Meraglim, every day that the Meraglim went and they spy, it's not only the eagle, it's also to the Meraglim, for every day that the Meraglim, they spied, and they Yom Lashana, every day that they cried and they waited, they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Shol, the Tkufa of the Meraglim paralleled the 40 years in the desert. Okay, whatever the Midrashim are, whatever the calculations are, but one thing is clear, they did appear to know that they're not going to be in the desert forever. They'll be in the desert for a period of time, 40 years. They come into Eretz Yisrael, wonderful. How long were they in Eretz Yisrael? They were there for 480 years. Or how, for 440 years? No, I'm getting confused. So there was the 400 years since they come into the Eretz Yisrael. So the 910 years until they build
Until Chorban.
Until the Chorban. So they're there for almost 1,000 years. They're in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Golus. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, everything is fine and good. They had the Givon, they had Shiloh, and they built the Bayis Rishon. Okay, everything is fine. Then there's Chorban. How long was the Chorban? Not forever. 70 years. 70 years is not forever. And already towards the end of the 70 years, after 52 years, they're on the way back. They allowed to return. Kurish has to go back, start building. They had to stop. But after 70 years, they already had a new Beis Hamidrash, and everyone is coming back. Well, they're allowed to come back. Golus is over. 420 years in Eretz Yisrael. Wonderful. Now there's Chorban. Now there's no end. There's no end to this Beitar, another Chorban after 52 years. And now the Golus goes on and on and on and on. Here we are almost 2,000 years since the Chorban. And 2,000 is a long time, but let's already figure 100 years, 200 years, 300, 500 years. When is the Geula going to come already? What is going on? This was never experienced in Jewish history, such an open-ended, long period of Golus where there's no end in sight and nothing is doing. Nothing, no one's going anywhere. What's going on? That's exactly what this pasuk says. The wise men are going to be very disturbed about this phenomenon of there's no end to the Golus. And they're going to start to make calculations. It's only meant to be 300 years, 400 years. We learned this. Mine, mine, tekelu parsin. And we learned Idon, the Chatzi Idon. And I've got a sukkim already. We learned back in all the calculations. We learned with the Ramban and this one and that one. And Rashi says exactly Moshe was supposed to come in the year 1399. Remember that? We had all these calculations. Nothing's doing. So that's exactly what this pasuk says. Yikoshlu, from the wise men they will stumble. And I'm sure it alludes to Shabbosai Tzvi. Can't be. It doesn't allude to Shabbosai Tzvi. There were Shabbosai Tzvi before Shabbosai Tzvi. There were other Shabbosai Tzvis and the like. And the maskilim, the wise men, all of the tzaddikim and the great ones throughout the generations, yikoshlu, they will make mistakes. They will think Mashiach is coming imminently. It's coming tomorrow, coming in 10 years, 100 years, 50 years. How will they stumble? Litzroifbam. Now, litzroifbam is a very unusual word in this context. Litzroif means to purge the impurities. You put something into a furnace, metal into a furnace, and what's the correct word?
Smelting.
It means to smelt. What is smelting? To remove the impurities from the pure metal. So here, that's what we're borrowing this word, smelting, for chokhma. When you analyze something, when you think about something, you remove the logic that's nonsense, the ideas and the concepts that are false from ideas and concepts that are true. So the process of thinking and delving into Chochmah is called smelting. It's an incredible way to describe the study of any Chochmah. And that's how the Metzudas clearly translates the word here. Litzroif Bohem. Bohem means among them, or concerning the situation that they find themselves. Let's run to the pasuk. Ulevorer, ulelabein. There are many expressions. There are three expressions. Litzroif, Lavarer, ulilabein, to cleanse, at ace kates. When will this Golus, when will the kates, the end, come? But the answer is, you're all wrong. All of the Talmidei Chachamim, all the people, all the generations, they will stumble. The Malach is telling Daniel, they can all make mistakes. Every calculation will result in an error, because ki od lamoed, the set time is way ahead. They would never imagine, our ancestors, that we would still be here in the year Hey Alofim, Tav Shin, Ayin Gimel, and Mashiach is still not here, and is still in America. They would never have imagined, almost 2,000 years, it's unheard of. We don't find Golus 2,000 years, 70 years, 210 years, 400 years. 2,000 years of Golus? Doesn't make sense. Something is wrong. So let's read the Metzudos inside. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Let's first look at the Metzudos Tzion. How he translates this word Litzreif. What's Litzreif? The smelt. In Yonoi Havonas Hadavar. The word here is used to mean to understand something. Lahafrish hasheker min emes. It's incredible what he says. To separate sheker from emes. So who mushal? It's a borrowed term. Lashon of shoyel, to borrow. It's a borrowed expression. Milashon tsroif kesef, to smelt, to purify silver. Lahasir hasig, to remove the impurities. To what?
Refining
process, to remove the impurities from the siga, the impurities from the silver. So that's what it means here in this context, to understand. Now how the, let's see in the Metzudos David, how he elaborates on this pasuk, Umen hamaskilim v'os, then after this period of time, when Beitar falls, and now we enter in a long kuf of galus, now is when the galus really begins. With the fall of Beitar, that's it. It's over. And now we go into Golus for 2,000 years. V'oz rabim min ha-machachachomim, so the maskilim of the chachomim, the wise men, yikoshlu, they will stumble. Not going to be killed. Not discussing over Yechorbin. B'cheshboin, in the calculation, the ace of the time, yaskilu, at that time, b'cheshboin, be'ace yaskilu, when they, at the time when they will be wise, when they will attempt to be wise, litzroif, to understand. We'll just substitute the word litzroif to mean to understand. B'cheshboin zman ha-ge'ula, when will the ge'ula come? V'ladas biwur ha-davar, to know the clarification of this matter. The liboin cheshboinai, and the whiteness, the purification of its calculation, to know for sure when the geula will come. Ratzolaymar, what does all of this, these fancy words mean here? Yiyu toyim, they will make a mistake, they will err. Miderech ha-emes b'cheshbon ha-geula. When? Ad eis kates, what do these words mean? Not to be translated literally, means Ratzolaymar, v'chein me'oz b'chol dor v'dor. This will repeat itself, this mistake will repeat itself in every single generation. Ad eis ha-kates, until the real Kate, until Mashiach really comes. Rabim Yachshavu V'yitu, many will make calculations and they will make mistakes. But when the Mashiach will come, then you'll look back and you'll say it was so simple. It was right in front of our eyes, it was in plain sight. The Geula, when it was going to come, Yufkichu will open up. Einei, call the eyes of kol, every little child. They didn't know the cheshbon. Look at the pasuk; it's clear when the cheshbon is. Lahavin rimzei zman hagula, the hint to the time of gula. Ki olam moed. Why will they make this mistake? Because Rashi says a psychological. It's natural because you don't want to wait. I refuse to interpret the pasuk in this manner. I'm going to wait for it. I'm going to wait 3,000 years, 2,500 years. No way. I'm going to force the interpretation into... Now, as we learned, it's emes. The pasuk is purposely vague because it does allow itself for Mashiach to come at any moment in time. As Chazal say, if you merit, if you do tshuva, Hayoyim will come today. And then we will find an interpretation in the pasuk to show that Yerimechanami can be interpreted to come today. Ki oid moed, oid lamoed, ki oid zman rav la moed hagu'ula. Because the zman has not yet come, a long way off. Unetias das hamachashvim hi, and the turning person is influenced. His mind is warped. He purposely does this to himself. He lizman karv. He wants to make this man soon. Ki haseichel note achar hataiva. Very powerful words. The mind always is influenced after its desire. Soif maisa b'machshava tchila. You make it come out the way you really want. Vehem yisavu, they will desire. Lekarev v'lelarachek. Ulezeyitu b'chash, that will cause them to make a mistake in the calculation. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says pretty much the same thing. Pasik lamid. Hey, but it's much more lekatzer. It's very hard to, like I told you, these Rashis that we're coming to now, to the end of the parak, are all very, very difficult to really grasp the full, to what he means. Yikashul litzroif bohem, yikashul b'cheshbon hakitzim. They will make mistake in the calculation of the gula. Sheyitnu lev litzarfon, they will apply their hearts litzarfon ulalabnam, to understand and to clarify. Ladas osam, to know, but the yitu bohem, they will make a mistake. So let's read the pasuk one more time. Umin amaskilim yikashlu, the wise men of all the generations, referring to all of the tzadikim, the gedole hadar, they will stumble. What will they stumble? Litzroif bohem. Bohem means the calculations. When it comes to understanding the calculations that are presented throughout Tanakh, there are many instances sciences of calculations of when the Gula will come, whether you look in the Berachos of Yaakov, you look in the Berachos of Moshe, you look in Hazinu, you look in the Sefer Daniel here and there, you look in Sefer Yeshaya, throughout Tanakh, you'll find all different calculations, Rimazim, of when the Gula will come. Bohem, among all of these psukim throughout Tanakh, they will stumble, they will learn the wrong pshat, they will make the wrong calculations, and the ulvorer, and to clarify ulilabein, to whiten the same idea, the clarification, ades kates, because the truth is we're not deserving. The Malach is telling, it's very scary what the Malach is telling Daniel, that they're not deserving, and Mashiach will not come, ki od lamoed. It's yet to come. The set time is yet to come in a long time. Okay, now let's just begin a little bit. We'll just begin a little bit, and then we'll do this again tomorrow. Now, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Now, I told you, when we started this section, this parak, this very difficult parak, we're dealing with the present. Gavriel is coming to Daniel, and he's talking to him, and the current king of the world is Koresh. And maybe at this point in time, I don't know the dates, there was a little boy, his name was Alexander the Great. Alexander, he wasn't the great. He was still a cut, he was still a little child. And there was a nation called Yavan, Macedonia. A little nothing. Whoever heard, I don't even know, yes, Kachal, you ever heard of this country, Macedonia? What's Macedonia? Yavan, there's another place called Yavan, Greece. Nothing. Persia, they control the world. They had an alliance with Modai. People knew who Modai, Paras, Macedonia, Yava. Who ever heard of this? Gavriel says, I'm telling you, Daniel, you know what's going to happen very, very soon. In a short period of time, there's going to be a little... He probably wasn't born yet, because this was... Alexander wasn't even born yet at this point in time. Because for 34 years, Parah, after the Bayis Sheni was built, Paras was still in control for 34 years. And Alexander Darwin is 32 years. And this was 18 years before the Churban, so we're dealing over here with more than 50 years before Alexander the Great conquers the world. So he wasn't even born yet. But the Malach tells Daniel, in the not-so-distant future, 50 years from now, there's going to be a person, Alexander. He's going to be the general of this country called the Macedonia. He will inherit it from his father. So was Paul?
Philip.
He's going to kill his father. Is that correct? He killed his own father. He's going to take over, and he's going to conquer the world. And then guess what? He's going to die. He'll die, and his Malchus will be divided among four of his generals, and there's going to be the north and the south, and there's going to be major battles, the Syrian Greeks and the Egyptian Greeks, and this is going to go on for 180 years. They're going to be the Hashmonaim. But as we get more and more into the distant future, the vision of the Malach gets vaguer and vaguer. When you look at something, right, the closer it is, you can clearly see. The more you look out into the distance, it's hard to see the details.
Like the weather forecast.
Exactly. Further into the distance, it's hard to see what's going on. So far, all the psukim, as you notice, as we start in this perek, in the beginning, it's clear as day. He doesn't say the word Alexander, but it's clear as day. Alexander, the four kingdoms, and a few more, the north, the south, the Syrian Greeks, Egyptian Greeks. But as we keep on going, get to the Romans, it gets a little bit vague. The Hashmonaim, the miracle of Hanukkah, it's alluded to. It's getting, and then the Churban, the Beitar, Asar Gemalchus, it's getting more and more vague. Now is where it gets really vague. Now is really gets really classical, like the long-term forecast, 10 days. Right, on the news, they only go 5 days, correct? How far do they go on the average news channel?
5 to 8.
5 to 8? But if you go online, you can probably find a forecast, so even 20 days.
10 like days.
10 days, right? So they don't do that, because it's very, even tomorrow they don't know for sure what it's going to be.
Maxfield said, more than 48 hours, you're an idiot if you think you can know.
Really? That's what he said? I understand, okay.
No, that's what he said.
He was the mumcha. He was the mumcha.
48 hours is all
you can. Okay, so Yav over here, now we're coming over here to this Tkufa. Already we're going into the middle of Golas. Let's assume now we're dealing with 500 years, or maybe a little less, after the Golas. Psukim now, very, very difficult. Many interpretations, and it's even hard to even translate some of the words. But we're going, so Rashi and the Mitzudos and many of the Rishonim, what they're going to do, which I'm not going to, I'm going to really focus on a whole different Mahalach. They are going to say we're finished. We're finished. We're going to go back. We're going to go back now and describe pretty much this Kufa of the Romans. The Roman conquest of the world, the early Roman conquest of the world. At the time of the Bayesheni, when they, really going back a little bit, before Beitar, when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, when they exiled the Jewish people. Titus, which is, we're going a little bit back, we're hovering over this Kufa. And then at the very end of the Perek, we're going to jump 2,000 years to Gog Magog. Okay, that's pretty much how Rashi and the Mitzvahs are going to learn. We're going to now, let's chazer over. I'll read with you. V'asak Hiritzonu HaMelech, and he will do like his will, the Melech. Who's the Melech? What Melech are we dealing with over here after the Chum Bayashani? So let's right away look in the Mitzvahs. Pasuk Lamed Vav Mila Pasuk Chozer L'Dvarav HaRishonim. We're going back. V'amar Shemelech Titos. He wasn't a Melech. He was a general for his father. Aspas, who's his father? Aspasian. He was called in Hebrew Aspasionus. Aspasionus. Titus, Yaseb, so he's calling him the Melech. Yaseb, hold Dover Kiritsona, the Ein Moichan, no one's going to hold him back. He'll destroy the basement. He'll do whatever he wants. The Asa Kiritsona, Melech, let's go back to Rogan Pasik. The Yisraimain, he will elevate himself. The Yiskadel, he'll become great. Al Kol El, over any god that existed in that point in time, any pagan god, the Al El Elim Yidaber Niflos, and on the mighty God he will speak disgusting things. This refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here Kel is holy. Kel Elim, the Al El Elim refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will conquer all the nations. Every god that every nation he conquers, he will destroy their idols. But when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he will stab the Paroches with his sword. Blood will miraculously come out, and he will speak niflos, horrible words of blasphemy. The Al-Kelilim, the mighty God, Yidaber niflos, the Yitzliach, and he will be successful. He will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now, didn't we already discuss the Beis HaMikdash in Pasuk Lamed Aleph? Pasuk Lamed Aleph, we discussed Uzroyim Mimenu Yamodu, the Chilu HaMikdash HaMaos, the Yisir HaTamid. So, according to the Mitzudos, that's what he's doing here. We're really finished. We finished world history. That's as far as the vision goes. Go to eye doctor. You know, you can't hold you a little teeny on the wall, teeny little letters. No matter how good the glasses are, you're not going to be able to read those little teeny glasses. We're finished. We're just reviewing this tkufa of Titos. We're going back. The Yitzliach will be successful. How long? Ad kolozan, until the golos is over, until Hashem's anger of at Klal Yisrael has come to an end. Ki necherotzon esosa, destruction has been done. This is like a word. If you wouldn't know, you think it's from Yeshaya. These words necherotzon esosa, like right out of Yeshaya, straight out of Yeshaya. Interesting that the Malach is using the same words that Yeshaya used. Ki necherotzon, necherotzon means destruction. It means what's an exact? Which look nichris the mitzvah sion necherotzon nichris to cut. To rip apart has been done. Hashem has poured out his anger upon Klal Yisrael by destroying the Beis HaMikdash. It has been done through the Melech. The Melech here is Titos. And he has conquered every single pagan idol. And when he came to the Beis HaMikdash, he spoke with chutzpah. Yidaber niflos k'neged kel elim. And the Yitzliach. And his success will endure until Hashem brings Mashiach. Ad kol azam, Hashem's anger at the Jewish people is over, because Hashem wanted there should be this korban, this krisa, this destruction. Ki necherotza nesosa, it was done upon Klal Yisrael, this destruction. Okay, now we're going to stop here, but we'll read the mitzvahs tomorrow. But this is the game. I want to point out that we're going to spend a lot of time. Another Mahalach, which many of the other Rishonim and Achronim learn, we're now continuing history. And we continue history, what we discuss, focusing very much on Christianity. And these next psukim, they read every pasuk, they read a reference to Yeshu HaNotzri and all of the popes and the cathedrals and their hashkafa, their whole outlook on life and what they've done to Klal Yisrael. And it's incredible Ramazim about Christianity. And then as we go further, it's going to describe, we're going to bring in Yishmael, the Crusades, and it gets very vague. No one really says it, but if you read the psukim, it appears that we're describing, it ends up with the Crusades, the major battle between Christianity and Islam. I didn't really see anyone that says it that exactly like that, but then we come at the very end to Yemos HaMashiach, and there's very little reference to that, and it gets extremely vague because no one really knows what's going to happen at the end. So, but that's the basic gist of here. We're making this shift with Pasuk Lamed Vav. We read already according to the Mitzudos, the same interpretation. We're referring to the Korban Beis HaMikdash, but we should be aware, why stop here? Let's continue history. Let's continue discussing. Let's now look in hindsight what has happened, and we can clearly see those events in these psukim that we're going to read. Okay, we'll stop here.